on through the book of Jeremiah, coming to chapter 4 this morning. This is a continuation of Jeremiah's second sermon or second message. We've seen how it breaks up there where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, gave him instruction. So he, in his second message, really continues an appeal to the people in Israel, Judah, who at that time, King Josiah was the reigning king. He was a good king. It was a time of revival, a little time of reform in Israel or Judah's history. But he continues, the Lord, through Jeremiah, to try to reach stubborn people, for their wayward ways, come back to me, return to me. In verse 1, chapter 4, he continues his message, "If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me, and I will put away your abominations out of my sight. Then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. The nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves. And let us go into the fortified cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Take refuge. Do not delay. For I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction. The lion has come up from the thicket, and the destroyer of the nation is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land desolate. Your cities will be laid waste without inhabitant. For this, clothe yourselves with sackcloth. Lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then I said, ah, Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying you shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches the heart." I'm going to stop there. Again, let's pray. Lord, we turn to you. We ask that you'd open up your word to us. Minister to us, Lord. We need you. We ask that you lead us and guide us and direct us. Cause us to bear witness of your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Further instruction. Jeremiah continues to prophesy to a thankless people, those that really were turned away from the Lord, trying to reach them, minister to them, using different pictures and dramas and communication methods, trying to reach their heart to turn, return back to the Lord. He, in chapter 4 here, relates to them, the Lord through Jeremiah, that it's time to heed the warning. In verse 5, he said, declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land. Cry together and say, assemble yourselves. Let us go into the fortified cities. Blow the trumpet. One of the purposes of blowing the trumpet was as a sign of a warning. A couple weeks ago, the bad storm came through our area. Kind of the edge of it, went through our area here. We really missed it. But Some lost their power and the storm came in pretty heavy. But before the storm came in, I heard a siren over here somewhere further west. And you know, one of them, I know it was one of them that turned because it got a lot of, and then it kind of, you know, it turned around and a sign of a warning that a storm was coming. Sure enough, you know, Ruthie was watching the news. Dad, there's a storm coming in. And I was doing a little bit of concrete in the backyard. I'm like, oh, great. Then Jonathan called. There's a bad storm coming. Take heed of the warning. Ruthie was like, let's get into the basement. I was watching the, you know, the radar, and I seen that it was kind of, you know, the outskirts. We might be spared. Praise the Lord, we were. But the Lord speaking to Jeremiah said, it's time, blow the trumpet. It's time to heed the warning. It's time to act. Go into the fortified cities. Take refuge. It's time to take shelter. He's giving this warning and telling the people to take heed of the warning because judgment is coming. Judgment is imminent. You know, there's the Syrians already came in. Babylon's coming in from the north. They're coming in strong. And as you read the chapter 4, we're not going to read, you know, all of it, but you see that it's all about this disaster of the judgment that's coming. First, that it's coming. Then he prophesies when it's here, in the picture of the people and how they think. It's going to come. It's coming strong. The enemy's coming in like a strong wind, not like a gentle breeze. You know, it's going to come in and swoop down on us. Then the people, they were plundered. Our tents are all plundered. It's like too late. There's time to take heed. The alarm's going off. Take shelter. Judgment is coming. But then, as the prophecy goes on, it's too late to take shelter. Take heed. Change. But it's time to heed the warning, as he tells Jeremiah, you know, sound the alarm. Cause the people, you know, let them know. Lord willing, they'll respond. That's the object, that we would respond. For soon enough, time is going to be too late to respond. Judgment's coming. But now, praise the Lord, there's still time to be saved. Look in verse 14. In verse 14, Jeremiah says, "Oh, Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you?" It is time to be saved. Hey, praise the Lord. And he's re-communicating, relating to them. Hey, sound the alarm. Judgment's coming. And it's time to heed the warning. But there's time to be saved. Praise the Lord. He's given us a window of time to respond. Praise the Lord. But they had it backwards. Look in verse 22. "For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children. They have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Oh, they're happening. They got the things going on in the things of the world and the things that are evil. But the things that are good, my ways, they're actually, in the King James Version, it says that they're stupid. They're foolish. They're silly. They had it backwards. Or the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we're to be simple in the things that are evil and wise the things concerning good. We're to be smart when it comes to good. Know what to do, how to think, how to respond. We're to live for the cause of good. But they had it backwards. Not that they fell short in any way, but that their gifts and their abilities and their thoughts were devoted to evil. Things turned from the Lord. They had it backwards. God gives instruction to them, to us. Look in verse 1. "If You will return, O Israel, says the Lord. Return to me. Come to the Lord. And if you put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. You know that song, we shall not be, we shall not be moved. Actually, the meaning here is that they won't be removed. The enemy's coming. You won't be taken into captivity. You'll stand fast, stand firm, stand against the enemy. If you put away your evil doings, your evil wickedness, your evil actions, your evil behavior, sinful life, put it away. If you return to me, the promise is, you will not be removed or moved. You won't be moved. You'll be established or rooted. Strength comes from depth. You know, I'm thinking about some, you know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that we're to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Not just hear it, but let it sink in, let it change our lives. If you turn to me, you return to the Lord, you shall not be removed. And then verse 2, more instruction. And you shall swear, the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, in righteousness. The nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. Really, what it means is you'll make an oath to live for the Lord. The Lord lives. And then back it up. It's like a life of commitment, you know. If you return to the Lord, if you return to the Lord, if we go to the Lord, we'll be strong, established. If we not only profess or confess that the Lord lives, but allow him to live in us. The life of commitment, the promise. You know, the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. Others will see it, the reality of keeping the oath, making an oath of commitment and living it. The instruction, how to avert judgment. Take heed to the warning. Turn to the Lord. Live for the Lord. He goes on, we're to take action, is really the point of the whole message. You know, the alarm's going off. Respond. Take refuge. Get into the fortified city. Move. Respond. Act. Take action. It's time to plow. You know, time to heed the warning. Time to plow. Look at verse 3. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Time to plow. You know, the picture is to plow the soil of our hearts. It's time to break up the fallow ground. Fallow means, fallow actually means a plowed ground that's left untended or uncultivated. It's to break up the fallow ground. It's to tend our hearts, is really what its meaning is. Tend your hearts. Break up fallow ground. It's time to plow. It's time to be real with the Lord. You know, I think of, plowing. How my grandpa used to plow in the backyard. First he would turn the soil, and he'd be out there plowing. Or I think of a neighbor that we have a couple blocks away, and his house is like Better Homes and Gardens, man, every year, the way his garden comes in, but he's out there tending that garden a lot. His soil is kept, looked after, cultivated. That's the message. Jeremiah, tell the people, break up the fallow ground. Cultivate it. Don't leave it untended, unseeded. Don't neglect it. We read this morning about the soil, the parable of the soils, and how, you know, behold, a sower went out to sow some seed, and some fell on rocky ground, didn't take depth of root. Thus the birds of the air came and swallowed it up. Never took root. Hear the word of God, hear the gospel, experience the truth of Jesus Christ, and yet it not take root in your heart. Then, he said, then some seed fell among thorns, and the cares, or some didn't take deep enough root because of the rocks, and then some fell among thorns, the cares and the pleasures of the world. Then the cares and the pleasures of the world choked out the good seed, and it never really took root. Plow up the fallow ground. Break it up. Tend to it. Let's look at our hearts before the Lord this morning. He said, don't leave it untended. As you plow up the backyard, you leave a good bed of soil, and next thing you know, it's filled with dandelions. You have to tend it. You have to look over it. It's not just about holding it up before Him, but it's about cultivating it, the soil of our hearts. It can be neglected, our hearts, through ignorance or unconcern. But whatever the cause of not tending it, doesn't matter. He's calling Judah and us to break up the fallow ground, the soil of our hearts. He not only gives them instruction, but he really implies how to implement the instruction, to apply it. Not just to hear it, but to implement it. In verse 4, he goes on, circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Less, mind you. Now, he's telling them to heed the warning, but here it's a threat. Lest my fury come down like fire. Judgment's coming. The Bible tells us. God will judge sin. But we're to take heed while we got an opportunity, a window of grace, a time to respond. And he's telling them, take heed. You got it all backwards. Time to plow. Circumcise the foreskins of your heart. The picture of circumcision in the Bible. When it was first implemented in the Old Testament with Abraham, it was implemented as a sign of God and His people. It's a sign that, you're my people, and it's a sign of the covenant. We have an arrangement or an agreement together. We read, as Joshua went into the promised land, the Lord opened up, Jordan River. They came in to the land. First thing they did, they set up in Gilgal, and the Lord told Joshua to have all the men circumcise themselves, and they had a hill of foreskins. The picture, the covenant with God. Here of my people, setting my people apart, marking my people. Then he says, circumcise, implementing the change, or implementing, applying the change to our hearts is, circumcise the foreskins of your hearts. Set your heart apart. Not only break up the fallow ground, plow the ground, tend your heart, look at your heart before Him, be responsible for our hearts before Him, but to set them apart. They belong to Him. We belong to Him. I belong to Him. Our hearts belong to Him. I was thinking as I was reading and studying this, the description of really being holy. What sets a man apart is not only being spiritual, but being holy, is one who constantly lives with his heart before the Lord. Not just mentally, but righteously. A heart before the Lord, holy, set apart. He said, circumcise the foreskins of your heart. Your heart set apart. Another sign of circumcision, foreskins is this, cut it away, is it's like the natural life, the surface of the natural life. God wants to go deeper than the natural life and who we are before Him. Yeah, He wants, and that's how seed and roots and plants and, fertile life takes place. When it goes deep, deep-rooted. You know, what are them things called where they build the bridges and they got a boom, 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 and they put the pylons or whatever they're called, and then big old machines, you know, the big old loud machines they got on the freeway when they're building bridges, and they drive these steel, you know, beams way down in the ground. I don't know what they're called, but they're real loud. You see them, bam, 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 and they're going deeper and deeper and deeper. Strong support for the bridges. When we first started as a church, we put a sign out on Utica Road, and we got, you know, an idea. We'll make a piece of plywood and two boards, and we'll insert them in fence poles. So some of us went out there one day in the spring when the ground was soft, and we drove in this fence pole into the ground, but we drove it in. We had a sledgehammer. We drove it in deep. Still there today. But it supported the sign without problem. Then we moved. We had to remove the sign. We couldn't get them things out of there. But the idea of going deep with Him, giving our heart to Him, not just superficial, not on the surface, the foreskins of your heart, but more intimate, deeper. Break a fallow ground. Hold up our hearts before Him. Implement the instruction. He goes on in verse 14. Wash your hearts. Notice, O Jerusalem, wash your hearts from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts dwell within you? Implementing the instruction, how long shall your evil thoughts? Part of going deep with God is our thought life. It's not just, you know, how we act. It's not the outward behavior. Jesus condemned the Pharisees because they went through the motions. They look religious, but the inside were filled with dead man's bones, he said. The inside, what's really going on in our heart, what's really going on in our thoughts, is what God's really about. He wants a heart and the inward thought life of our heart. And He's telling them to implement the change, you know, break up fallow ground, circumcise the foreskins of your hearts, and then, you know, how long? Wash your hearts. The picture, we can't wash our hearts. We hold them up before Him. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from all sin. He's the only one that can cleanse our hearts. But the idea is to do it, to live it, to wash our hearts, to bring them before Him. Let them go deep, to be rooted and grounded in His Word and faith and truth. Be a real Christian. Not so much we're going to be so good and godly, but we're for real. Inside, we're for real. Bring our hearts before Him. Going deep, implementing the instruction. Wash your hearts. He says, how long will your evil thoughts lodge within you? That word lodge means abide overnight. And really, that's what the instruction of the Bible gives us. You know, I have a problem with this sometimes. I'll get an attitude. I remember going back all the way in my childhood, and I'd be in the bed, I'd be so bitter or angry at someone, and I'm not going to tell you who. But I'd lay in my bed and I'd fester, and I'd go to bed in that bitterness. Not to go overnight in your stubbornness, and to let go of the attitudes. It's like a daily thing. Let them go. Do not give place for the devil, for a root of bitterness in your heart. Cultivate your heart daily. Before you go to bed, make sure there's no attitude, no bitterness, no unforgiveness. You deal with your sin. When you lay your head on the pillow, don't let evil thoughts lodge within you. Wash your hearts. How He gives us instruction, how to implement the instruction. Take heed. Take heed to the warning. We're to respond. How to avert judgment. I was looking in Psalm, how David, how he poured his heart out before the Lord. The example that he gives us. How he prepared and plowed his heart. You are my portion, O Lord. he goes on, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked one have bound me. As David explains his actions, his heart, he says, I didn't delay. That's the problem we have. See, we get set in our ways. We go about our own selfish life, thoughts, ideas, righteousness. But he's calling us to respond to the alarm. And how to respond? Without delay. Be quick. Avert judgment. Turn over the soil. That's what my grandpa did first thing in the backyard. He took a shovel and turned over the soil, preparing for the garden. But there's more than turning over the soil. It's more than just that superficial aspect. Then he plowed it. He plowed it, and then there's another aspect of the preparation of the soil and maintaining and cultivating the soil in our heart. It's not just plowing it, offering it to him, breaking it up. It's softening. Look in verse 8. In verse 8, he says, "For this, clothe yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail." The picture of being broken before the Lord. Brokenness. Relating to soil, soft soil, you know, fine soil. You keep plowing it, it turns into some rich, fine soil, topsoil, perfect for growth. And break it up, but keep it soft. In another scripture in Psalms, David says, 34:18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have the contrite spirit. Have that broken, soft heart, fine soil. The Lord is near to those who maintain. Do not sow among the thorns is the next instruction he gives us. We read this morning about the seed that fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked out God's word. The good seed. But this, the thorns, the weeds, must be uprooted. If weeds cover the ground, new truth cannot grow and bear fruit. I remember a few years ago, I was driving down reading this and looking in the medium at Gratiot, and it was just covered with weeds, dandelions. It's green, but there's no room for grass to grow. We're too, he said, not only, you know, break up foul ground, wash our hearts, circumcise the foreskins of our skin, hearts. The weeds must be uprooted. Don't sow among thorns. If I am nurturing any sin, water or pruning or fertilizing it, it's going to grow. It's going to take root. We're not to be filled with sinful imagination, unholy thoughts, but pure thoughts. The Bible encourages us. We're to cleanse ourselves from sin. Just a couple more scriptures here. I'll read to you David's method of cleansing his heart as we're encouraged to cleanse our hearts. The Bible tells us how. In Psalmist says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Not only hearing his word, superficially, but letting it go deep. Plant your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. David's method of cleansing his heart. We're to plow. Take heed of the warnings. Break up the fallow ground, keep the soil soft of our heart, tend it, cultivate it. Plant God's word. Go deep, Lord, rooted and grounded in faith in his word. Finally, Hosea writes, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. The admonition for us. Let's stand. The admonition for us to take responsibility. First thing is, take concern of our hearts before him. Hey, he is concerned of our hearts before him. And what grows in our heart? Break up the fallow ground. Take action. Implement the instruction. Apply his word. Submit to him. We're to hold up our heart before him and ask him to plant his word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. Cleanse my heart, Lord. To cut away the foreskins, the surface of the heart. Let him go deep in our heart. We belong to him. He's just admonishing us to realize it. Return to the Lord, and you shall not be removed. You be strong, rooted in him. That's how we be strong. By daily tending our hearts before him. Hey, we're responsible before him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word and that you're the shepherd and the overseer of our soul, Jesus. And Lord, you're concerned about our hearts, our thought lives, our actions, how we live before you. And you desire us to turn to you or return to you and take responsibility and concern, not plead ignorance anymore, but to submit ourselves before you that you might have your way in our hearts. Lord, plant your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Do take control. In Jesus' name, amen.